everyone to the Renegade's Guide to the Daily Mail. It's this time. The newspaper Robin and I have been subscribers of for, well, at least 10 years or so. It's our favourite newspaper. We love it very much.
We absolutely love it. We love it so much. We cannot live without the Daily Mail.
It's like your, it's like breakfast. You need it every day. You need a bit of Daily Mail every day. Because otherwise...
Yes, we need a dose of ignorance and prejudice every morning. Keep us bigoted.
To keep us sane, I suppose.
Yeah.
So Robin has actually got a copy of the Daily Mail, and I secretly took a screenshot of it when Robin held it in front of the webcam. So yeah, it's proof that Robin is actually reading the Daily Mail. But no, yeah, so Robin's got a copy of the Daily Mail. I looked on the Daily Mail's website with some articles, and we'll do the usual bollocks, I suppose. We laugh in the face of pop culture, and this time... the pop culture is the Daily Mail.
So essentially, this entire podcast could be solved if we simply visited www.shouldyoureadthedailymail.com.
It says no, right? When you do that.
It says no. We could have saved ourselves an entire week of buying the Daily Mail if we simply visited that site.
See if it still works. No, yeah, disagree. That's okay, everyone has their opinion. However, the Daily Mail screams its intolerance for all things in a most foul manner, pushing its narrow-minded vision of the world.
And that is probably the best summary of the Daily Mail I have ever heard.
That's not all, it says more in this box.
Oh, fantastic.
It uses sensational headlines which make the clickbait on Facebook look boring. And sometimes it prints things that simply aren't true. So read something else, chances are you'll be a better person for it. I like it that someone actually took the time to, rather than just the no, they added, yeah. I think they added this bit, because I remember going to his website, well, when I went to visit it for the first time, it was just a couple of years ago, it just said no.
I know, it's been, I'm just looking at it now, it's just fantastic. But the thing is, the Daily Mail is quite amazing in the sense that it's the only newspaper that you can actually read and be less informed after reading it than you were before.
I have to say, it's interesting for me as well, the Daily Mail, because I'm coming from Holland, we don't really have a newspaper like the Daily Mail. Although I suppose there's one newspaper that's a bit like the Daily Mail and shouts, and everyone always says that it's got like, we've got like this little treat during Christmas, which are called like chocolate letters, right? Which are quite big.
Uh-huh.
So people will say like their headlines are as big as like chocolate letters. It's got the Telegraph or the Telegraaf in Dutch. And it's quite sensationalist as well, I would say. Apparently, they supported the NSB, which is like the National Socialist Movement in Holland during the Second World War, this newspaper. So,
which is bizarre.
Yeah, well, yeah. Sometimes it's usually people like from other newspapers, like the left-wing newspapers that say, like, oh, yeah, but still it's the newspaper that used to support... the National Socialists during the Second World War. Yeah, there you go.
As you all know, the National Socialists were really great people, weren't they? Do you remember the National Socialists in Germany, Elmer? Fantastic people. I mean, look, what was that one guy name? You know, amazing chap. I mean, what did he did?
Oh, yeah, was that Adolf? Was it Adolf?
I think it was Adolf, something like that. All right, fair enough. There was a slight issue with, you know, a couple of million Jews here and there, but all in all...
Right. If you actually looked at their policies, I mean...
Yeah. I mean, we could all agree that those death camps made a lot of jobs and helped the local economy.
Yeah, job growth. I'm surprised the Conservative government has never ever
thought about that.
Proposed anything like that.
I'm surprised that this is not discussed. Death camps are not discussed as a legitimate solution to the immigration crisis.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the European Parliament. I mean, it's like the first thing you think of when you think of like immigration crisis. What should we do? Look at North Korea, you know. Death camps.
Genocide. The solution to all life's problems.
Oh dear. Are we going to get problems with this?
Oh my god. You know what? There's a part of me that feels like I have to define the definition of sarcasm now. Because there's going to be people who will just not get it.
Yeah, from the Oxford Dictionary.
From the Oxford Dictionary. But, oh god, all in all, the Daily Mail... Such a bizarre paper. So Yelma, how about you kick us off?
Okay.
Talk us through your experiences with the Daily Mail this week.
Well, I found this interesting article from today. Former Miss Nevada, 30. It's, it sounds a little bit like a Florida man story. So there's this Twitter account called @_FloridaMan. And it's the world's worst superhero, basically. In Florida, you have a lot of newspapers, or news, I suppose, news reports, rather, talking about a Florida man has done this. A Florida man drank lube during Christmas or something like that.
Or a Florida man ran naked screaming, "Everybody touch my python." It's just like the most bizarre stories you can find that start with a Florida man.
Exactly. So this is maybe this should become something, though. Former Miss Nevada instead of Florida man. So the female equivalent to Florida man. So former Miss Nevada, 30, who was stripped of her crown over lewd photos, is now arrested for meth trafficking. I was like, this headline, you have to give them credit. They are very good at making headlines, the Daily Mail.
They are. It's like The Sun. The Sun are very good at headlines as well.
Shamed beauty queen Catherine Nicole Rees, 30, faces a series of methamphetamine-related charges, according to a complaint filed this week. Rees was crowned Miss Nevada, USA in 2006, but was later stripped of her crown after a scandalous photo of her surfaced.
I mean,
okay.
So essentially, I don't get that. All right, I just fundamentally don't get that. You're talking about essentially, which is a tradition that values women for their essentially their body alone.
Yeah.
And then people get upset when they've seen a bit too much of the body.
I know. Yeah. Well, I like the pictures. I'll describe the picture. So there's one picture when she gets, I suppose, the Miss Nevada thing, or Miss Las Vegas, I think that is, with like she's got the crown, or like the typical beauty queen, and like women at the back are clapping, like, "Oh yeah, well done. We don't really want you to win, bitch, but you won it. You won anyway." And then there's another one of her, like a close up, and then there's the mug shots in there,
yep.
And typical mug shots, so not the most flattering pictures of a person. And then there's one. When she's in, where's this thing? With Floyd Mayweather Jr. during Floyd Mayweather Jr.'s 30th birthday party at Jet Nightclub at the Mirage Hotel.
Okay.
In Las Vegas. And then there's one with, I think, the Mayweather bloke with a cigar in his mouth. And next to him, then there's another picture of her, like, no, she's in a dress. Then there's one which is in bikini shorts and a jumper. USA. And then there's one with a gun in her hand.
It is America.
Yeah. Let me see what else is in this story. So in September, Rees sold meth to a man ID'd as Jay Peacock, police say. According to the Las Vegas Review Journal, Rees was found with 5.3 grams of methamphetamine a month later.
So she's gone from beauty queen to Heisenberg, essentially.
Yes, yeah. Now she stands charged in Las Vegas with trafficking in a controlled substance, sale of a controlled substance, and 2 counts of conspiracy to violate the Uniform Controlled Substances Act. Oh, and this isn't Reese's first run-in with the law.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Reese has faced mostly traffic-related legal troubles since losing her Miss Nevada USA title after racy photos of her surfaced online. What is a racy photo? What does that even mean?
I don't think she has a top on. I think that's probably what it means.
It's probably the one with the gun. It's the racy photo. It's more of a rifle than a gun, actually.
I don't think America would care if you took a picture of yourself with a gun. I think that's like the one thing that's perfectly fine.
Oh, yeah, no.
You show a bit of nipple. Oh, God, no, no. Oh, the humanity.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if she's completely naked. As long as she's got a gun in her hand or a rifle, it's fine.
That's fine. The gun is the least objectionable part of that entire photo, if that's the case. Oh, my God. It's such a bizarre world out there. How did Daily Mail report about this, though? I mean, was there a very freaking right-wing bias? I mean, how dare she show herself in any sort of...
No, it's basically sort of describing what happens. But I suppose, I suppose Daily Mail's always a lot of pictures, right?
Mm-hmm.
And pictures that appeal or grab your attention. Yeah, just saying that she got more fines. She agreed to pay up $1,312 in fines. That's about it, really. Yeah, it's mainly pictures, I would say.
Well, we're kind of sort of stumbling upon one of the most bizarre things about the Daily Mail. which is there's a very distinct feeling from their print edition and the actual, you know, online segment of the paper. Because I see a lot of people who will share stuff on the Daily Mail, but it's not going to be any sort of political or economic or any sort of serious matter. It's always going to be some celebrity bullshit. And it's always like, I don't know, Taylor Swift walking around in shorts. And then you've got a whole story that is basically just pictures of Taylor Swift walking around in shorts.
Who gives a damn if she's walking around in shorts?
Yeah, exactly. Who gives a shit? And then it tells you how you can get the Taylor Swift look and tell you where you can buy very, very cheap, similar looking shorts. And that's the whole fucking story, and people will share that.
Well, I mean, I've got nothing against the Daily Mail. I think it's actually fun to read. If I'm now looking on the website again.
I have a lot of problems with the Daily Mail. I just want to make that very clear right now.
Oh, there,
and most of them are political.
There's another thing here. China cracks down on its super rich. Fewer die. Backlash against the very spoiled billionaires' children who enjoy Ferrari's money burning and sex parties.
Yep, I like to point out that this is happening in China, which is run by the Communist Party. Communist in name only, that's what I keep saying about that one.
Yeah, true, yeah. Well, I suppose the Daily Mail, it's not my cup of tea, the Daily Mail, but if you want to read it, that's fine.
Oh yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to ever say ban the Daily Mail. I'm completely against any sort of act of censorship whatsoever, but I make it very clear. I think the Daily Mail, I honestly think that my used toilet paper has far more interesting and
stories on it.
Yeah, stories on my morning used toilet paper than you will ever find in the Daily Mail. And I'll give you an example of one, Yama, right now. I got an article from a chap called Max Hastings, who I imagine to be sitting there, you know, in a wimber leather armchair in a country estate, and just sitting there, and he just picked up his morning tea and said, "We cannot feed arsenic to the kids anymore. Fucking nanny state. Nanny state coming in with their PC liberal ways. You can't use the N-word anymore without someone getting upset." You know that.
You can't call someone... you can't call someone coloured anymore.
Well, yes. We're not allowed to be horrendously racist to everyone we meet. This is the problem. This is why the country is going to the dogs. You know, that's all ridiculous.
And that's why we should leave the European Union with those Eurocrats.
Yeah, every sort of nonsense like that. And I'm not even going to read the article. I'm just going to read you the title, and you'll see exactly what I fucking mean. R.I.P. the Cream's fameless bone rattler, killed off by the nanny state. Max Hastings paid tribute to the Land Rover defender. It is such... Yep, that is it. That's the fucking article. And this is so countryside, cottage, house, Tory bullshit I've ever heard. Because you got the Land Rover.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, they're talking about the Queen. It's hitting all the fucking...
Ticks all the boxes.
It ticks all the fucking boxes. I mean, this is Daily Mail porn. All you need is immigrants, you know. We're sending the fucking immigrants home, and Muslims is all Muslims, folks. And there you go. They'll be reaching fucking orgasm any minute now. It's... Bloody hell.
I have to say, what I like about the headline I read about these super rich kids, right? So there's one picture with a Chinese girl. Well, she's got a lighter under, like, some notes. And so she's got notes in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think she's trying to burn the money. Then there's one of her in a Ferrari, and then there's one of her in a bikini on a jet ski. And this is this is great. There has been a massive public backlash against China's Fuerdai, or rich second generation, who quite literally burn through their billionaires' parents' cash. And it says, in brackets, left, which is of course a picture, on gold-plated Apple Watches for their pet dogs and brand-new Ferraris, which they treat like toys. The unemployed kids of the country's wealthiest tycoons then show off their luxurious wares and bundles of cash on social media.
I mean, sorry, but there's a Tumblr account, and there are plenty of things wrong with Tumblr. I will say that right now. But if you go on Tumblr, there is an account called The Rich Kids of Instagram, and it's showing mostly not American kids doing exactly the same thing. I mean, guess what? People who are born to wealth turns out to be fucking assholes. It's a very common thing for some bizarre reason.
Oh, this, it continues. The public fury against them intensified when 23-year-old Guillaume Maimai, I do apologise if I pronounce that incorrectly, who was considered to be the queen of the Fuadais, was accused of selling sex at a drug party in 2013. She replied by posting an image of 516,000 pounds worth of casino chips online, along with the caption, "Too rich to need to sell sex."
Too rich to need to sell sex. So because she's rich, she doesn't have to be a prostitute. I don't know what the fuck this says about women's liberation in China, but fair enough.
Okay.
I hope that everyone, you know, is too rich to have to sell sex.
No. I think she means too rich to be, too rich to need. Oh yes, yeah. Okay, she did the 1-0. So it's a spelling mistake down her end. Which doesn't matter. Of course, I'm foreign, so English is not my first language. Don't judge me.
That's fine.
Do you have anything else, like anything else interesting, Robin?
I got one, and we may go into rant, and we may even counter-rant each other.
Okay.
Because I'm not quite sure how you feel about this one. But I think you read this article as well, so this should be interesting. And it came out yesterday, and it's "Tube strikes are ruining my life." Commuters fury as London Underground's shutdown causes travel chaos across the city. Now, I've been seeing a lot of stuff about the tube strikes for the past couple of days. And most of it are from ignorant morons who, quite frankly, like to run their mouths about everything without understanding the world, aka my dad and most of the Conservative Party membership. Now, Yama.
Robin.
What position do you think the Daily Mail may take upon such a controversial subject like the tube strikes?
I think they choose a side of, I suppose, the people who are striking.
Oh, how wrong you are!
Oh!
Oh, God. Essentially, this is basically, this is a story about the reaction to it. And most of it is, again, they take like clips, little segments from Twitter, like one person saying, "True strikes are ruining my life. Boo-hoo. Oh, no, I can't get to my boring shit job.
Yeah.
True strikes are the worst thing in this world. There's too many people above ground. Please end." Okay, but at the same time, there's people literally fighting for their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know if you want to get into this, Yelmer.
No, yeah, sure, yeah.
But I'd just like to say, if you're moaning about your being late to work because people are literally fighting for the very thing they need to survive in this world, fuck you. That's all I have to say. Just fuck you, you're an idiot. If anything, if you're complaining, and this is another thing I see a lot, and it pisses me off, people say, "Tube workers get like 75,000 a year salary. Why the fuck they're going on strike? I don't earn that." Well, maybe you fucking went on strike. You might be, moron.
I just let you continue. I'm just enjoying this rant of you.
It's just so amazing. And the joke is, the strike's not even about pay. And people always have to go to the pay. If anything, it's about, you know, the new night service that they're trying to introduce. And people are very rightly saying, well, hold on. It means I'm going to be working more and more time. And shift work, and as anyone who works shift work understands that quite often you are working very unsociable hours. You know, your actual life, you know, the thing that you're supposed to be living, doing things that you enjoy with the people you love, you can't do that anymore because you're spending more and more of it being miserable in a job you hate. So you can live. It's ridiculous. And it's essentially about the question, do you live to work or do you work to live? Now, quite frankly, I think that it should be the latter, not the former. And so did the tube workers, hence they're going on strike, and I like to extend my solidarity to them.
I just like to point out that I thought this is like, it was the headline on the Daily Mail's website, like the top story. Like, I thought it said, like, I was just reading it like quickly, the headline, and tube and London were like, so tube was at the top, and then London was like under the word tube. So I thought it said, "Loop strikes are ruining my life." It seems like some. It could be like a story from Amsterdam, couldn't it? Like some prostitutes in Amsterdam. Like, loop strikes are ruining my life.
Oh my god, it's a brilliant story. It's a just brilliant. I just love that. I wish that was the story. That'd be amazing. People who are getting upset because they can't get their lube.
Oh, there's another thing. It's not from the Daily Mail, but it was like a link suggested on the Daily Mail's website. It's from Celebrity celebryplanet.com. That's a very bad name. Come on, John. Okay, it's 10 celebs with the same face.
Okay.
Number one, Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber. Do you remember that? That was like that picture on social media like last year.
Yeah, I do. I just sort of thinking about that. Oh, God, yeah, they do look a bit.
Number two, Heath Ledger and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit. The eyes. Yeah. Number three, Scarlett Johansson and Christopher Walken.
Oh, don't say that. I'm never going to look at it the same way again.
No. Oh. Why did you ruin that Celebrity Planet? Why did you have to do that?
1,000 teenagers will stop masturbating.
There you go. Like, yeah. Oh damn it. Bummer. I don't know who the... I don't know. Rob Lowe and Ian Somerhalder. I don't know who they are. They're actors.
Can I just... Sorry, mate. Just to interrupt you quickly. I just got the mental image of Scarlett Johansson doing that monologue from Pulp Fiction now. For 20 years, I hid this watch up my... My God.
Helen Mirren and Jennifer Lawrence.
I have to disagree on that one.
Nah. Misha Barton and Elijah Wood. Yeah, I would say if Elijah Wood had longer hair, he would look like like a girl. He's got a bit of a baby face, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. It's a baby face, as my grandfather would
Javier
say.
Javier Bardem and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Yeah, yeah, kind of. Although Javier Bardem looks more... I think he's Spanish. Like Latin American or Spanish rather than Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He looks, face. But anyway, that's number seven. Number eight. Who are these people? Tracy Morgan and Doug E. Fresh.
I have never heard of them.
They're American.
Ah, that explains it.
Oh, this is an interesting one. Yeah, kind of. Katy Perry and Zooey Deschanel.
Yes.
Kind of, although Katy Perry's got different eye colour. Yeah.
I must admit, I do quite like Zooey Deschanel.
I don't know, is she an actress or is she a singer?
Yeah, she's an actress. I haven't really seen what she does, but I have heard, but I have listened to some of her music and it's alright. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's amazing, but you know, it's a bit okay, it's a bit meh, all over the
place. Well, if Robin says it's alright, you're not that bad.
Yeah, you're not that bad. I love that, it's literally like the best comment you can ever hear from me. It's alright.
Yeah. I would say that's typical for you. It's like, what do you think of this?
It's alright.
Yeah, it's alright. You usually go like, yeah, it's alright.
Oh, God.
Okay, number 10, Carrie Underwood and Emily Osment. I don't know who those people are. I know Carrie Underwood, I know her name, but she's probably an actress. That's number 10, and then number 11, that's it. Oh, that's the end. Well, there you go.
Oh, God, I love how we got on about the Daily Mail and we went to celebrities who look like each other. This is what this paper's done to us. We are both seasoned broadcasters and it's rotted away at our minds.
Well, maybe it has, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
There you go.
Do we want to have our little summary of the Daily Mail, Yama?
Let's do that.
Okay. All right, this is what Joe's been recalling. Our thought for the day, or... What does Jerry Springer do again?
Jerry's final thought or something like that.
Jerry's final thought, which has nothing to do with the absolute car crash of a TV show that precedes it. It is so out of tune with everything else. It's just people getting naked and fighting with each other.
So it's the Renegade's fault now. The Renegade's fault.
Yelmer, should you buy the Daily Mail?
No, but...
No,
it's...
But...
I would say it is fun to read.
Okay, true, it is. I was going to say, my thoughts are exactly the same, it's no. But if you're that way inclined, I'd like to recommend My Camp. You might enjoy that more.
I was going to say, otherwise, no, but it might be a very good use of toilet paper.
There we go. Daily Mail, as a reading material, not very good, but toilet paper, AAA+.
Say cum.
What?
You said you'll come, right?
Yeah. But I was talking about the Daily Mail porn.
Oh, well, that's it for this time then.
Oh, God, I just imagine like a Daily Mail porn scenario.
like top shelf, like top, top shelf Daily Mail.
You can imagine it now, you know, where it's just absolute bad acting and just a horrible script.
All right, well, well, thank you very much for listening. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at...
We have an email? This is what I'm learning about.
Well, I will make sure there is an email when this podcast...
Yelba will make sure there's an email. What's the email address, Yelba?
So it's renegades@soundgorillas.co.uk.
There we go. If you did not get the jokes and if you're offended, please send a message to 001 Eat a Dick.
Well, thank you very much for listening, and...
Next time we might go into something a bit more culturally redeeming than this.
Bye-bye.